You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
Good evening. My name is Daryl and welcome to another Breadline. Brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au. And I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the Wurundjeri people on the land which we are broadcasting from. Coming up tonight, we are going to listen to an interview from the Renters and Housing Union. And we'll be talking about suicide. And don't forget, if you have problems with Centrelink or your job provider, give one of our volunteers a call at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on 1800 289 848 between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday, or you can send in an email at auw.org.au. And when you call, we know your privacy is important, so you can be completely anonymous if you like, but we would like to know who your job provider and location is, so that way we can concentrate our efforts on any trouble spots. We may ask you for your phone number, email address and suburb where you live, but that's about it. If you don't want to give us that information, that is completely fine, apart from Centrelink. Can you imagine calling Centrelink and telling them you don't want to remain anonymous? No, just won't happen. Oh, and a little bit of the small print here. Any information given by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union volunteers cannot be taken as legal advice, which is understandable because the union is made up of people like you. Okay, now we're going to listen to an interview. Actually, we played this a couple of weeks ago, but due to technical problems, we missed the first half of it. This is between Harry and Danielle from the Renters and Housing Union. So let's have another listen to that.
This is Harry from the Renters and Housing Union. I'm speaking with Danielle from the Safe Public Housing Collective. Danielle, you've been a staunch advocate for public housing. How did you get into that?
Yeah, I was firstly desperate and on JobSeeker long term for about 7 years, and then COVID hit and we got the supplement, and I was like, oh yeah, the Greens are the only ones speaking to us. I joined them and then worked on their housing and homelessness policy working group for about a year, but at the same time my personal situation was deteriorating and I'd been through multiple traumas, recent and past, over the last 12 years, ended up on the disability pension as a result. And despite being an intelligent person who always thought they were capable, didn't know what was available to me in services, and it took years of people prompting me and convincing me and being around really good activists to actually realise I should have been applying and on the housing waitlist about 10 years before I applied.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot to go through to get to where you are. Why do you feel as though yourself and maybe others in your position aren't maybe aware of their options? Where do you think that comes from?
Well, one, I think we're possibly brainwashed into thinking that we can ambition and get our shit together so much and make it in the capitalist world. But also, if you do come from an upbringing where nothing ever went wrong early on, you're less likely to probably know those services if it hits the fan as an adult. And I think so there's a certain part of admitting things. Other than that, I actually don't think that there's a lot of people, it doesn't matter what circumstances you really come from, the information isn't available to you. You do get on JobSeeker or disability pension, it's actually not obvious what you're entitled to. No one comes and tells you, hey, you deserve this, or this is available to you, because they don't want to give you any extra. It's the Centrelink line. It's only once you start to know and engage with other people who are going through the same as you, and often that's through activist spaces, that people start to actually make you aware of, and knowing older people or people who have gone through similar things recently, that really help to share that knowledge.
Absolutely. Sharing knowledge is such an important part of building community. Now, you were on the waiting list, but you never got into public housing. Is that right?
That's correct.
So as I understand it, you went into community housing, as we know, is not the same as public housing. How did that happen? How did it happen that you went into community housing rather than public housing, which you were aiming for?
Yeah, so I guess I'd also been working with the State Public Housing Collective for over a year, and I knew the difference between public housing and community housing. So when I was on the VHR list and I was escalating my case and I'm talking to social workers and I was just saying to them, and struggling to get help, because if I can be verbally okay, they don't think I'm desperate enough, even if things are pretty desperate financially. Yeah, going and knowing that public housing is a better deal, there's better rights for residents, knowing all these things from the activist work that I've done, and then being told you're going to be waiting a very long time if you don't tick the extra box that says I'll accept community. I did draw the line. Some other people, they say, will you accept temporary accommodation? And I know for my mental health, if I end up in one of those rooming houses, which I've heard hideous things about, for some people it's okay, I've heard some good things, but I've also heard that they're very unsafe places, and they would definitely, I've had several psychoses, it would throw me back into very bad headspace. But anyway, you don't have to tick any of the boxes. You could just be on the VHR list and just tick the public housing box. But for me, I need to get out of the situation where I didn't have the choice but to be always going into negative financially whilst eating at the food banks and all this sort of stuff, always being desperate. So I felt community would still be just an okay option, even though 30% of your income plus CRA, Commonwealth Rent Assistance, isn't a great deal. When you're on the lowest wages on Social Security, it's not really good enough.
Right. So you kind of feel pressured into taking something that is, I mean, less good, you know, more paying more for less. Mm. For vulnerable people who feel pressured into that system where there's a huge waiting list for public housing, what would you say to them? Would you say just tick both? Or would you say that you should hold to your guns? Where do you think people should go if they're in a situation similar to yours?
Well, each to their own. In a similar situation to mine, I know that I'd run out of choices and options and I was desperate. So, and I know that feeling. And in that sense, you just want something that's longer term and more stable than the private housing market on Social Security.
Right. So basically just something is better than nothing. I think what you were saying is really interesting, because you can't undersell the issues that you're going through to get there. You kind of need to oversell those issues so that you're seen as being, I guess, worthy of housing.
It depends on which services you're asking for. Sometimes you have to look really competent to get services, like the DSP and the NDIS. You have to be stable as psychosocial issues. But with housing, and to get, so I couldn't get a case manager out of Sacred Heart, who's been in the news this week, but I could get semi-services. The best services I got through was through my addiction counsellor service, who was, and that's just random, happens to be the best support worker I've ever met. Whereas those other ones, the support workers and the social workers, their hands are kind of tied in the system. They're not funded enough. There's not enough. So they actually looking at you on a scale and on the list of their 25 clients or whatever, and they're like choosing. So that's like, this is actually really making me angry, because it's like social workers playing God. But it is not just their fault, but you do get extremely judged and you get told to go off and advocate for yourself. You're not bad enough. No, we're not giving you a case manager. And they'll say one thing when I've got my support worker next to me. And they're like, yeah, we'll help her, we'll help her. She's surrounded by it. We're going to have, you know, wraparound services, all this. And then as soon as the support worker works out, they go, no, you're all right. Go and work, self-advocate. So it's just very confusing as well.
Absolutely. It sounds like a really terrible system to go through, especially as someone who needs the assistance to be put in that position.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia.
We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Oh, that ended quite abruptly. Okay, all right, we're going to talk about something more serious now. We have, unfortunately, Jessica couldn't make it into the studio. She wasn't feeling well, but we do have her online here. And Jessica, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, beautiful. I didn't think this would work.
you're getting pretty good on the old tech. Yeah, so, yeah, I've been listening, naturally, and, yeah, that was a really good interview with Harry from Rahu and Danielle from the Safe Public Housing Campaign, and Danielle also is giving us some more interviews from that campaign because, as we know, where you live and if you've got safe accommodation is really tied into the sort of how you can approach the day, really. So, yeah, that was a good interview.
Yes, it was.
So during the week, first of all, this is a content warning because what we're going to be discussing is distressing and we will be giving out some numbers at the end for people who might want to ring to talk to someone, a professional, about feelings of depression, etc. So, yeah, it came in from the Anti-Poverty Centre, who are friends of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and they're a great group because they get right down into the nitty-gritty of the stats. And in their media release, they've called on the government to stop hiding behind the Band-Aid solutions to preventable suicide deaths. And they've got hold of some data from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, which confirms that, well, they're saying that the welfare system is killing people. They're saying that apparently a third of the people who have committed suicide are actually on JobSeeker and DSP.
Yeah, they're on some sort of benefit. Yeah, I was reading that this afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. And so, of course, the point that Danielle made earlier, which is when the JobSeeker was suddenly lifted, people started to feel a lot better because I know in our case around Wonsaggi, people were able to afford vegetables and food that was actually good for them. And that, of course, a lot of us hope that they would continue to have that benefit. Of course, we know the benefit payments in Australia are some of the lowest in the OECD.
Yeah.
So they really, you know, Australia, oh, lucky country, et cetera, but not really if you're getting payments of this kind. And when COVID was on, they called it a crisis about income insecurity. And then suddenly, oh, right, well, just to make things worse, turn the screws, reduce the payments. Yeah.
Yeah. It's no fun. It's no holiday being on these payments either, I could tell you.
No. The other stats they've got, the Anti-Poverty Centre, the suicide rates for people on unemployment benefits reduced by 37%. 0.4% between 2019 and 2020. And, you know, of course things weren't good then. You know, there was all the lockdowns and so on. But the fact that people could afford food, I think, made a difference.
It makes a huge difference. I know. Got myself going from private rent to public, you know, renting privately. I had to buy the cheapest bread, the cheapest just about everything, you know, and you don't feel good.
I used to go to the food bank and then you'd get all these sort of weird foods which were sort of remained at be given to the food bank and you'd think, oh, God, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
But it was food. They also say that during 2019, suicide among the DSP recipients was 3.6 times that of the comparison population. And so, yeah, they've done a good job. They've got some good quotes here from Kristen O'Connell. She's from the Anti-Poverty Centre, yeah.
Yeah.
As a person who's felt that suicide was a better option than trying to survive on my Centrelink payment and who regularly experiences ideation as a result, I know why people feel that the government would prefer welfare to recipients to die. The data shows that welfare recipients are dying by suicide at an alarming rate. The government is not serious about suicide prevention and mental health if it refuses to increase Centrelink payments to at least the poverty line and abolish mutual obligations. And they need to take the hundreds of billions of dollars spent on lining the property investors' pockets, subsidising climate vandals and war machines, and use it to ensure that no one relies on income support and who people and living in poverty. So, yeah, so they've got done a strong statement there, and there's a few numbers they're giving. They gave at the end, so we'll give them out. Suicide Callback Service, General, 1-300-659-467.
Yeah, I've got some here as well.
Sane Australia,
yep.
Do you want to read that one out?
Yeah, that's Sane Australia, 1-800-187-263. 13, I'll go on. Well, I'll let you read them all.
Oh, right, we'll take turns. Yeah, 13 Yarn for First Nations people, 1392-76.
Headspace for Young People, 1-800-650-890.
And Q Life for LGBTQIA people, 1-800-184-527.
Yeah, well, isn't there a plus after that, after the A?
There is actually, yes. I missed that.
Yeah.
You caught me out.
So they're excluded.
No.
And don't forget everyone's, the ones that I know best is Lifeline, 131-114.
Yep, that's good.
And there's some others that I'm missing too, I think.
Well, we look forward to the day when we don't have to read these numbers out because they're suddenly up. The payments and people are feeling a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, I've just looked at the time there, Jessica. We've run out of time.
All right. Well, thanks for linking me in.
Yeah.
Thanks. And hopefully I'll be feeling better next week and be in the studio.
Yeah, it'd be great to have you come and join us again. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I'm not sure if I've hung up on or not, but we'll work that out. All right. I think we'll stay tuned for the Eridan Voice Show, and we'll catch you next week. So bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.